Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Each week, this show will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for you and your family. We will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know that can benefit from today's subject. This is one powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. And I guarantee you, we all know somebody that can benefit from today's show. Now, I want to also remind you that I am truly grateful for all of you that take your time to listen to or watch this show, and especially those that send in questions, comments, reviews, and suggestions, because please remember, this show exists for you. Now, if you haven't gotten your free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal yet, please go to our website at answers.network or answersforthefamily.com and download a copy. Give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on what focusing on gratitude has meant for you and your loved ones. Now, I have a couple of quotes that made me think of our guests today. They are also by two young and inspiring young women. The first being, don't be afraid to speak up for yourself. Keep fighting for your dreams. That's by Gabby Douglas. And the second is, I can't think of any better representation of beauty than someone who is unafraid to be herself. So with that in mind, I just really want you to know that I'm very happy to have this young lady with us, because our topic today is also that we love your entire self and make friends with food. So our guest, who is also young and inspiring, Sadie Radinsky, is a 19-year-old blogger and recipe creator. For over 6 years, she has touched the lives of girls and women worldwide with her award-winning website, wholegirl.com, where she shares paleo treat recipes and advice for living an empowered life. She has published articles and recipes in national magazines and other platforms, including Paleo, Shape, Justine, Mind Body Green, and the Primal Kitchen Cookbook. Sadie, welcome to Answers Network.
Thanks for having me on, Alan. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, it is my pleasure. And I want you to know that I love talking with young people like yourself. And as I was doing my research into you and what you've accomplished, it's a reminder that as a society, with young people like you making a positive difference, we're going to be okay.
I love to hear that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, I'm involved in a lot of different groups, a lot of different nonprofit groups, and there are times when some of us are sitting around and we're getting concerned about, you know, the way things are going, and somebody in the room will bring up something about, well, it's the millennials, or it's this, or it's that, and I like to always jump in and go, you know what, if you guys would listen to some of the young people on my show, you wouldn't be worried. Trust me, there are some people out there that are going to really keep us going in the right direction. So thank you. So, and along with that, so, you know, as I've said, you're literally, you're one of our shining stars of a new generation of wellness experts. But what are your hopes for young women today?
That's a good question. It's a really hard time right now. I think obviously that's an understatement. And yeah. I think one of the most important things for us young people to do right now is, I think, just to accept and fully embrace however we're feeling in the moment. And that's something I talk a lot about in Whole Girl, is each chapter is a different mood that I want us to embrace. So there's things like bossy, blue, mad, afraid, unsure, all these different moods. for us to sort of work through and use in our lives. And I think that that's actually one of the most important things right now is embracing, accepting however we're feeling in the moment, because there's a lot of pressure to, there's always a lot of pressure in our lives to be acting a certain way or pleasing people or making everyone comfortable. But I think right now, especially, it's a really, really important time to fully let ourselves feel however we're feeling, even if we're not feeling super smiley or chipper, because, you know, this is a really insane time. We're dealing with things we've never had to deal with before, and that's going to create a lot of feelings we're not used to. So I think it's really, really valuable to practice feeling and working through whatever mood we're in the moment without having to suppress it.
Well, I think those are some great tips for people of any age right now with what we're going through. What would be some tips of some specific ways in which you can, that not just you, but any of us can get through some of these things? Because I've had a lot of guests, and some specialize in breathing, or some will specialize in a particular thing that they do. What are some of the things that get you through it and tips that you've passed on to others?
Well, I think a big thing with blueness especially is to sort of disconnect from all the noise around us so that we can actually tune into how we're feeling. Mm-hmm. And for me, one of my favorite ways to do that is from disconnecting from the internet and social media and all screens for as long as I can. Mm-hmm. Because I think, especially during the pandemic, there's always a lot of pressure on social media, but I think especially right now, it gives us such a false interpretation of what people's lives are like. And I've been noticing personally that when I go on there right now, it's such a facade that we all create of our lives on social media. And during the pandemic, it's more than ever. I feel like it's quite a curated representation of people's lives. So the comparison is just off the charts for me when I'm on there right now. I'm just constantly comparing myself to other people's lives, to their success in work, to, you know, the way they look and what their lives are like right now. So for me, when I'm feeling blue or really any emotion, if I'm feeling angry or afraid about something, disconnecting from the internet for a little while, even if it's just for like a couple hours, that's so helpful for me. And then I can take that time and do something that actually helps me get in touch with myself. So for me, a lot of times that's doing some yoga. I love doing some simple stretches, some meditation. There's actually mindful movements in every chapter of the book, which is exactly that. It's some sort of movement to get us in touch with our bodies and the way we're feeling. I think that because of, you know, being on the internet 24/7, and we have to for Zoom, you know, for school a lot of the time, but because of that and social media, we spend so much time disconnected from ourselves and the way we're feeling, like physically disconnected from our bodies, but also like mentally, and we don't feel very present. So I think that just taking even an hour each day to get off all screens is just wildly helpful. And anything you feel like doing in that time is great. So whether you want to do yoga or meditation, I have been getting into breath work actually. So it's funny you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. That's been really cool, doing some online breathwork workshops, but it could be also something simple like going for a walk. I like to play fetch with my dogs. I like to bake. That's why the book is filled with delicious recipes. For me, baking and eating a dessert that I've made is like the ultimate way to feel my emotions. So I think it really depends on the person, but whatever you do, do something that brings you back into your body and your presence, and can kind of break you away from all the noise and comparison and stress of the internet world for a little while.
I'm glad that you brought food into it and the way in which you use food as a positive, in the sense that you can bake and you can do things. We're also hearing, again, through that same internet or news, how so many people are now using food in the wrong way. People that are now being quarantined, so they're in their home, and we're hearing a lot of it. Things about people that are getting, they're putting on more weight, they're not getting out and exercise, they're fearful. But you have come up with this way to deal with wellness through food that's based on what you've learned. And I believe you learned this when you were sick as a child. Can you share about that, kind of how you learned about this? Because, you know, you're so far ahead of the curve compared to most of us that don't figure this out till much later.
Yeah. So I got really sick when I was a kid in fourth grade, with stomach aches, and I went to like a lot of doctors and nobody knew what was wrong. none of them even really thought that food was the problem, which is kind of funny because I think nowadays we're much more aware of the ways that food affects our bodies and can cause a host of health issues. But even what was that 9 or 10 years ago, there wasn't as much information around that. Mm-hmm. So nobody knew what was wrong. But my parents had started reading about gluten-free. That started to be coming in fashion. So they thought I should give it a try. And I tried it and my symptoms went away in a couple of months. So that really, really changed my life. And that's actually how I got into food, oddly enough, was having to cut out gluten because I'd always had a huge sweet tooth and loved desserts, but there were no edible gluten-free desserts in stores because back then they all tasted like leather or like cardboard or something. So I had to start making my own, which turned out to be a blessing because that's how I discovered the joys of food. So I became obsessed with making these gluten-free, grain-free, low-sugar desserts. And I found that these desserts actually tasted way better than the originals I was used to. And they also made me feel good. They gave me energy. And I started doing a bunch of research into food when I was little. And I've just continued it since. And I've learned so much about the reason that these made me feel good was because they were packed with protein and fat, which fuel our bodies. And, you know, our brains need fat, our bones, our every part of our bodies. And they were low in sugar, and sugar can actually cause a lot of health, sugar, you know, blood sugar rush and crash and all that stuff. So I sort of discovered not only can this food taste good and make me feel good, but it's also actually really good for my body. So it was sort of this awakening where I was like, food can be this huge joy in life. You know, baking these treats and eating them is so joyful for me, but it's also helping my body. And I think that was a cool thing to discover because a lot of us, you know, love eating food and love desserts, but they don't make us feel good. Right. Whether it's a gluten intolerance or just we feel like curling up in a ball and going to sleep after eating a slice of cake or something. So this is a way for me to, you know, enjoy food and also have it make me feel good. And, since then, you know, I started a blog when I was 12 and then this book, and I've been getting so much feedback from other young women saying that this has helped them sort of discover the joy of food again. Because there's also, as I'm sure you're aware, Alan, there's so much, you know, negativity around food for young women of like, oh, I can't have that. That's sinful. Because we get that messaging from the media a lot. And just our culture is seeped in this idea that women shouldn't enjoy food. So, you know, discovering these delicious, healthy desserts was sort of like this realization of, oh my God, I can enjoy food again. And I want to spread this message with other girls because it's really powerful to be able to enjoy desserts and sort of shift that mentality around eating in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the fact that you're so ahead of the curve. I know that in comparison, when I was raising my children, you know, I knew they shouldn't eat that much sweets or they shouldn't eat that much of the sugary cereals and things. And so I took what was power bars. I'm not even sure if they have them now, but I cut them up into smaller pieces and I introduced them to them as candy, you know, because
sounds
they
like my family. Yeah.
Yeah. They constantly wanted candy. So I tried to introduce things that I thought were a little healthier at that time. But you're right, you know, over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years, we've got so much more information. And yeah. You mentioned in regards to gluten, I didn't realize, but some of the statistics have say that as many as 25% of our population could be allergic to gluten, and yet nobody was addressing that. So,
yeah, it makes me think if there were a lot of health issues a lot of us have been having that could be caused by that, but we just still don't know.
Yes, exactly. So I was saying what I was doing with my kids. And so as a parent, what's some advice or tips that you would give parents raising girls today with so much more information out there?
Well, I think one of the biggest things, you know, nutrition is one thing and that can be a part of this process. But I think the biggest thing first is just to present food in your household as a positive and not as this big and scary thing that we have to contend with on a daily basis. Because I hear a lot of mothers saying things like in front of their daughters of like, oh, I shouldn't have that. Or, you know, just creating a lot of sort of guilt and shame around food. And that's, you know, that's very understandable because that's the culture we live in. And it's probably, I imagine as a parent, very hard to like censor the way you're talking in front of your kids, but it could also help the parent too, if they sort of shift the way they speak about food in the household. And I think then you can get the child into food. Like you guys, I don't know if it's possible now, but you know, you can go to a farmer's market and pick out delicious new fruits and vegetables and meats from the different vendors, and then go home and cook them together. And food becomes this more, you know, exciting, artistic and delicious thing in your lives rather than something that's full of stress and anxiety. And obviously this is not like a panacea for anything, but I think it's a great way to start about to start creating food as a positive in your household is getting your child involved in the food. And, you know, children don't care about, oh, you know, what's the calories in this, or what's the health benefits of this. I think you can just sort of expose them to different foods and cook together and bake together. And they will enjoy that. You know, for kids, it's much less about, you know, we haven't really been seeped in the culture yet as young kids, the culture of negativity around food. And you know, the guilt that gets imposed on us when we get a little bit older as young women, but as kids, we haven't been exposed to that yet. So I think it's a really cool opportunity to present food as in this exciting thing we can experience together as a family.
Yeah. And I think it's great that I'm not going to school at home. They're on Zoom calls like this. This is the way school is for many kids right now. But that also, if we try to seize that as an opportunity, you know, if you're baking together, as you would know, you know, there's measurements. And if you're learning measurements, guess what? You're learning math, you know, and so there's things that you can do and you can help teach your children while at the same time spending time with them, which is what they really want, and come away with, again, some wonderful treats. And as you said earlier, you have recipes in this book, you know, so there are recipes there that you can do, that you can make with your children, that it checks so many of the boxes of what we need to be doing right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a wonderful way to bond. And yeah, some of my earliest memories are of baking with my mom. And it's a great bond. So just an awesome activity to get us off of our screens for a little while. Just give our eyes a break. If it does one thing, that's an incredible part about it, is that gives their eyes a break. It's, you know, getting our hands in the ingredients, like mixing stuff together and making it into something edible. I think that's a really powerful practice that can actually bring us closer to our food and help create that positive relationship with food from a young age.
Mm-hmm. Now you talk about, you know, in the book, emotions of young women and how they can use these as their superpowers. Tell us more about that, because there's so many things now with emotions that is focused on negativity.
Yeah.
That I love the fact that in the book you go, you know what, we can turn these around. We can make them your superpowers. And so share a little bit about some of those that, that they can use.
Yeah. So when I was in second grade, I had a group project with my class with four other kids. We were making a giant poster, and I sort of became the natural leader of the group, because that's generally what happens when I'm in a group. I started, you know, sort of organizing the whole thing, and we were all having a great time. And then suddenly one of the boys in the group said, "Sadie, stop being so bossy." And I was like, whoa. And I felt horrible about myself. Mm-hmm. And I shut up for the rest of the class, and I felt awful. I felt embarrassed. And I was like, what did I do wrong? It felt like that was a really natural flow for the group. We were all having fun and laughing. What happened? And then as the class went on, I realized that like boys are never called bossy. Like I saw boys in other groups leading the group and everyone seemed fine with it. So over the years, I realized like, oh my God, it's only girls that are called bossy. This is insane. And I eventually started to own my bossiness. And over the years, I've been called bossy so many times, I can't even count, but I started to own it. And I realized the power of owning that emotion of bossy, because I'm a leader by nature and I'm outspoken in groups. I like speaking up about things. bringing people together, communication and group projects. And that's really what sparked this whole idea for Whole Girl of the different moods for each chapter. Was I realized that bossiness is something, it's a complete double standard, something that only girls are told that they're bossy. Boys are called a leader and girls are called bossy. Boys are called assertive and girls are called pushy. There's like all of these crazy double standards. And I realized that, you know, it's pretty damaging to create these labels for girls and call them bossy and stuff like that. We should be praising girls for speaking up or just letting them, you know, act however they want without, you know, labeling them as bossy or not. So the book is full of different ways for us to sort of use these emotions that we've classically been told to squelch. There's a whole chapter on being mad and how we can use our fiery anger to make change in our lives and in our communities and stuff. So there are so many different emotions that I think are labeled as bad just for teen girls. Blueness is another one. We're always told to smile or like, oh, she's being so moody, stuff like that. So I'm sort of wanting to turn the table and make these emotions a positive thing, because of course it's positive. It's part of who we are. We all contain these different moods that come up at different times. So I think it's time for us to express them and use them in different ways in our lives instead of trying to squelch them because society deems them unacceptable.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And you know, we're seeing now a huge influx of female leadership that's getting into politics and things. And, you know, that to me, I think is going to be so helpful, because you're going to have younger women now that they can look and they can see somebody that looks like them, that sounds like them, that's the same gender, that is making leadership decisions in so many ways. So I think we're headed in the right direction, but I agree with you. We can't continue to put down things that would lead somebody to make that choice to go into leadership by trying to squelch it at an early age.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It is so inspiring to see things change now. And yeah, it's so inspiring. And also, though, I still do see parents and even, you know, even kids too. Like, this isn't just boys saying this to girls. Also, girls internalize it, and a girl might call another girl bossy. So I think we might even see, you know, strong women, you know, ascending to leadership roles, but still see a girl and call her bossy, because there's almost a separation, like, oh, well, they're a famous person or they're a powerful person. But I think it's important to remember that, like, that little girl, yeah, she could be the person in power. She could be the leader. And we can foster that at a young age by just letting the girl speak up and be bossy if she wants to. Like, I don't think the word bossy is taboo. I think it can actually be really incredible.
Mm-hmm. So we have some calls that have come in, or some messages that have come in, because now people will send things in more through instant message or through email and such. And again, I want to thank those that take their time to do it. I've heard from many people that say that they do that because they're working during this show, so they send it in ahead of time. And this one reads, my father told me about this show, and we already ordered your book for me to read and share with my friends. Last summer, six of us convinced the Homeowners Association in our neighborhood to let us start a community garden. With a number of retired people who are master gardeners, we hit the jackpot with their help in designing the space and choosing the plants. We now have a plentiful vegetable garden, and a nice part is that they, and then in parentheses, the retired people insisted that we manage the project. Now we are talking about recipes and community events like soup night and weekend socials. Are there any other ideas you might recommend for us to consider? And this is from Brandy in Florida.
Oh, I love that. Well, first of all, good for you. I feel like a community garden, that's like the most incredible way to, you know, treat food as this amazing, you know, community aspect of life. I love that. Good for you. Well, I feel like it's probably hard during COVID to do group things, but I love the idea of doing like a soup night or something like that. Maybe you could use some of the things that you've grown in your garden in a baked goods recipe. You could experiment with different, you know, mixing savory and sweet, and then share what you've made with people in your neighborhood. That could be cool.
All right. We the screen froze for a little for a moment, but we're going to take a break. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about working out and exercise and some of the things that you speak about in the book, as well as on your blog in that area. So for everybody, stay with us. We are talking with Sadie Radinsky, and we will be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers Network. We're talking with Sadie Radinsky, and we're talking about her book, Whole Girl. We've talked already quite a bit about some of the emotional things. We've talked a little bit about food, but I'd like to talk a little bit about working out, because you mentioned in the book and on your website that that for years, women have been taught that the sole purpose of exercise is to change or improve their bodies. Now, I personally know it is so much more as someone who does work out, but what do you say to those that have continued to push this very limited belief?
Really good question. I'm no expert on this, but from what I've seen, there is definitely a lot of pressure specifically marketed towards women and especially young women to exercise to sort of minimize ourselves or shrink ourselves in some way. And obviously, there are many effects that exercise has, and there's so many valid reasons for exercising. But I think that that industry has sort of placed these ideas on us that exercise should have the goal of exercising should be to shrink ourselves in some way. And in my book, I had a really interesting conversation with Maris Degener, who's a yogi and speaker, and she survived anorexia at 16. And that's when she, discovering yoga sort of helped her heal her eating disorder. And what she sort of taught me about is this abundance mindset for exercise, which is a subtle way to shift our mentality around movement from a scarcity mindset where exercise might be about punishment or deprivation, and into this abundance viewpoint where we're exercising to add things to our lives. So this could be a really subtle shift of like, I'm going on a run to work off that cake I ate yesterday because I'm punishing myself for indulging in a dessert. Mm-hmm. To I'm gonna go for a run today to clear my head or to stretch my legs or because I want to get stronger and it feels good when I run. It could be for so many different reasons. And it's not my job to like impose benefits of exercising onto you. You can choose whatever you want, but it's just shifting that from like sort of a punishing point of view to what can this exercise add into my life? And that's really impacted my life because I got into running and it was never really a punishment for me, but I definitely would beat myself up if I wasn't fast enough or strong enough, or if I got winded, I would just, be negative, do negative self-talk the entire run. And recently, I have totally shifted my mentality and just worked on being present with myself the whole run. And it's completely changed my runs. I'm running faster and longer than I ever have before. But more importantly, I feel good when I'm doing it. I'm not beating myself up the whole time. So this abundance mindset around exercise, you any way you want, but it's really just that subtle shift of our perspective on why we're doing the exercise.
Yeah. First of all, I love the way you're putting that, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, just look at it as to what it adds, not what you have to do because you have to somehow reduce. But, you know, one of the things from my standpoint and for everybody out there is there are statistics. I mean, there's real scientific evidence. It increases your lifespan. It increases your health span. So more importantly than your lifespan, it is your health span. So when people go, I don't know if I want to live that long, if I'm going to be like this. Well, you're not if you increase your health span at the same time that you increase your lifespan. So from the standpoint of reducing stress, from the standpoint of also it builds your immune system. Mm-hmm. So right now, while we're dealing with this pandemic, the best things that you can be doing is to have a strong immune system that fights it for you. So there's so many other benefits other than just, as you said, working off that piece of cake that I just ate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And also, I think it's cool to realize that, you know, movement doesn't have to be any specific way. That was sort of a breakthrough for me. Like,
yes,
I really enjoy yoga, but not the sort of hot yoga. Like I went into a couple studios where it was hot yoga and they have these full length mirrors. You've probably seen some of them before, but in LA, they have these giant studios with these mirrors. So you're like looking at yourself as you're doing the yoga, which was a very weird experience because personally, I don't think that's how yoga is supposed to be, where like you're looking at your body while you're doing it. But it was this really weird environment and it was all about pushing yourself and overriding all of your instincts. Actually, I have a story in the book about a teacher, you know, forcing me into uncomfortable positions where I actually had to get out and leave the class because it didn't feel safe. But there's a lot of sort of no pain, no gain mentality in a lot of different forms of exercise. And I think it's important to realize that like, you don't have to do that. If that doesn't feel good to you, not only can you get up and leave the class, but you can just find a different kind of movement that your body likes. You could just go for a walk if that feels good, or go for a really, really slow run, or do some really gentle stretching. There's no one way that exercise has to be. And that's sort of the point of the mindful movements in the book, is to give us different ways to move our body for however we're feeling in the moment. Because some days we might feel like running intervals and burning off a lot of energy, which is in the chapter Be Joyful, or some days you might feel like doing a gentle yoga flow from the chapter Be Blue. These different forms of movement for however you're feeling.
Yeah. And that, again, that's one of the things that I really liked as I was going through the book was, yes, it does focus on the fact that it's more movement than it is. It's not a competition. And that was the feeling that I got, which I think is great. I think it'll get a lot more people interested in it than thinking that, well, because in school, if you decide to do cross country, you decide to do swimming, everything is set up as a competition. Mm-hmm. And so the way that you presented it, I thought, okay, this I think is going to get more people involved, which I think is the best goal of all.
I'm so glad you liked it. I've actually never done a team sport in my life. So that's probably why it was from an anti-team sport perspective. I mean, opposite of team sport. Like, yeah, I've never experienced that sort of, there are so many benefits to team sports, but yeah. I never experienced the message of like, you have to run a certain amount. So I think I sort of on my own just discovered this more intuitive way to exercise. And I think there's obviously a place for both.
Definitely.
And there's nothing bad about, you know, pushing yourself, but it's all like, why are you pushing yourself? Mm-hmm. How do you feel while you're doing the exercise? Are you beating yourself up the whole time? Are you cheering yourself on? How does that go?
Yeah. Oh, and I get it. And I'm very competitive. I was very competitive in sports. And what I needed to do as I started to get injured was I said, okay, I'm now going to shift to, if I'm doing this sport, that's going to help me in that competitive area that I seem to still need. But I'm going to take on these other things that I can do and not look at it competitively, just look at it as something that's more mindfulness, something that's more for me to get away, you know. And one of the things was it was skiing. It was snow skiing. Mm. I had been competitive in so many other things that I went out to get competitive in that, and I got injured. And I went, you know, I need to do a different mindset. And so now it's a matter of going out and enjoying the fact that I'm outside, mm-hmm. enjoying the fact that I'm amongst the trees and the snow, and I can be by myself if I want, you know, all of those things, yeah. and still enjoy it and go, you don't have to be competitive at everything. And so that's what I meant. It isn't that I dislike competitive sports. I love competitive sports. I just don't think we need to make everything competitive.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, and going back to food for a little bit, and I was just kind of looking at the time, we've got about 10 minutes. So what changes do you believe are needed for girls and young women in general to self-loathing that seems to be, the media now seems to focus so much on, you have one side of the media that's pushing fast food and everything else. And so they're just telling everybody, eat everything you can. And then you can pick up a women's magazine and everything in there is going to be, don't do that. You're going to have guilt, you know, you're going to have remorse. Don't do this.
Yeah.
And that has to be so difficult to be pulled in two completely different directions. And I love, again, with some of the foods that you're making and having recipes for, it's allowing them to be able to sort of have a little bit of both and feel comfortable.
Yeah, completely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with the messaging that we get. It's so confusing. Like, it's so confusing. We get hit with, like, we get bombarded every single day with all of these different messages around food. It's like, eat this, don't eat that, don't eat so much. Like, it's overwhelming and it's confusing and it's messing with our heads on a daily basis. And I think that an awesome way to sort of counter that is just start making ourselves food that sounds good, that feels good, that's made with, you know, real ingredients. And, you know, I think there's also a lot of guilt tripping that, you know, healthy food people give folks who aren't making their own food. I think that's really annoying because I don't think we should guilt trip anyone for any of their dietary choices ever, because there are so many areas where food is inaccessible, mm-hmm. intentionally made so by the government. Like, there's all of these crazy, you know, politics around food. So I don't think it's ever good to shame anyone for what they are or aren't eating. But I do think a really cool thing all of us can do is just pick out some new foods at the store that we're interested in and just start cooking ourselves. It can be a few meals a week or something. It can just be a hearty breakfast in the morning, cooking things filled with protein and fat to fuel us for the day, and just getting our hands in food, discovering different ingredients and flavors. I mean, for me, that has made all the difference, because then it's not about, like, what is this food lacking? You know, what can I take out of here to, you know, shrink myself and make myself smaller, or to, you know, minimize the impact of what I'm eating, like less calories, less fat, you know, there's a lot of messaging around that. So it's more of an abundance mindset, which I talked about for exercise, but it's also really powerful around food. What can I add into my life? What can this food add to my well-being and my joy in life? And that's had a really big impact on my life as well, is just adding different things into my diet that can make me feel good mentally and physically. So it's, how does it make your spirits feel? And that's, you know, something powerful about the desserts in my book. Half the book is just dessert recipes, which sounds random, but I think it actually makes a lot of sense when we're talking about self-love and empowerment for teen girls, because, you know, one of the biggest pressures we get from society is to deprive ourselves of the foods we love the most. That's seen as almost a badge of honor if we deprive ourselves. So another way to create this positive relationship with food is to start baking desserts for ourselves. Like, it sounds simple, but it's actually pretty powerful, because that can sort of spark this change of viewing food as this really beautiful thing that can add to our mental and physical well-being. So, you know, grabbing some new ingredients, exploring some new flavors, and baking yourself some desserts. I think those are all really powerful things we can do to start changing that perspective.
Well, let me ask you something on the financial side of this, in regards to being able to find the ingredients and find things that are organic, or things that are healthy. What are some tips or tricks that you can do to find those things and still get them? Because unfortunately, we're in this weird place to where, you know, that we have a government that's subsidizing huge, you know, big agriculture to put together stuff that's no longer completely food anymore.
Yes.
You know, and that isn't good for us. And yet they are not subsidizing and almost making it more difficult for things that are grown in a manner that is still good for us.
Yeah.
What are some things that you would suggest to people to find those things that are good for them?
That's a really good question. That this is something that I can't stop thinking about. It's just how insane our food system is and how we make, you know, the easiest to grow and the realest foods the most inaccessible. It doesn't make any sense. And this might be controversial, but I've been reading a lot this year about beef and the power of cows for our ecosystem and for our health. And, you know, this might push some buttons, but in this book I read, Sacred Cow by Diana Rogers and Rob Wolf, they talk about the case for ethically raised beef. Mm-hmm. And how regeneratively raised cows can actually help reverse climate change, and also the power of beef on our health. And an interesting point they make in there is that if you can't afford grass-fed beef, you know, there's a lot of messaging about if you can't afford grass-fed, don't eat beef at all. But they actually argue against that. And they say that if you can't afford grass-fed beef, get regular beef, because it has way more health benefits and nutritional value than any other food at that same per ounce price point. So something I would say to someone who, you know, can't afford, you know, grass-fed products, or organic products, is get the non-grass-fed, non-organic version of that, if that's accessible to you. Because beef is one of the most nutritionally dense items of food that we can get. It has B vitamins, iron, protein, fat, all things that we need in our diets that most of us, especially teen girls, aren't getting enough of. So this is obviously a bit stray from the rest of our talk, but I think it's a really cool thing to mention is that eating beef is really good for our bodies, and it's something that's more affordable than most other foods at that same nutrition point.
Well, and actually, I think it fits in perfectly. And to add to that, being as you have a blog that reaches many, many people, and that is for them to think about when they are voting for someone in office, for whatever office they're running for, how is that person voting to send subsidies to big agriculture and not to the place where they're growing something that is going to be healthier for us? And if it's healthier for us, we're then going to spend less money in healthcare. And if we spend less money in healthcare, now that's more money to be able to use for positive things instead of, you know, trying to fight a health problem that's being made worse by the poor quality of food that's being given to us. So, I don't think it's a bad thing to bring up at all, because that's what we're here for, is to make a difference. You're making a difference on such a great level, and for you to expand upon it and do it at an even bigger level, I'm all for it.
Thank you so much. And that's a great thing you mentioned about voting with our dollar. I think that's incredible. And yeah, there's so much we can do on that level.
Has come in, and this one reads, one good thing that has happened during this lockdown is how our two daughters have jumped in to help with preparing meals. The one who has finished high school will be heading to nursing school next year. All of a sudden, she has become the family nutritionist, pushing us to remove the sugar and gluten from our diet.
I love it.
We have all been amazed at the results. We estimate that between all five of us in our family, the combined weight loss is over 80 pounds. I noticed your book is available in hardback. Before we purchase it, do you plan on making it available on Kindle too, as all of the kids now want a copy as well? And that's from Joanne in Kentucky.
Oh my gosh, that makes me so happy. Thank you, Joanne. It actually is available on Kindle on Amazon. So check it out.
All right. And with that, something I haven't done lately, but I want to do with you, and that is I want to hand you, see if I can make so I can see myself here, hand you the magic wand. And with that magic wand, you can make a huge change. What is the first thing that you do with that magic wand?
Universal healthcare.
Okay. Okay. And explain a little more. What else would you do with that?
More than universal healthcare?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a big one for starters, especially right now, but always. Another one would be to let all young women know that they are complete and they are incredible right now, just the way they are, and they are deeply, deeply loved.
All right. I like that. So we just have a couple of minutes. Share a little bit about the best ways for people to be able to get the book, the best ways for people to be able to get in touch with you, to follow you on your social media or at your website or your blog. What is the best way for them to stay in touch?
Yeah, so the book is on Amazon. It's called Whole Girl, Live Vibrantly, Love Your Entire Self, and Make Friends with Food. You can get it hardback or Kindle. My website is wholegirl.com, where I have blog posts and delicious recipes for treats that make you feel good. And my Instagram is Sadie Rudinsky. I'm making food on there every day. So come hang out. And yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is a blast.
All right. Well, Sadie, again, it is my pleasure. And I told you, I get so excited when I get to speak with dynamic young people like yourself, to where I can feel like, don't worry about all the things that you see on television, all the doom and gloom. There are young people out there that are going to make a difference. We're going to be okay, folks.
Got no it? Pressure on us. No pressure.
No pressure on you at all. Okay, no pressure. But yes, we are counting on you.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And for everybody out there, please join us next Monday when Anthony Brinkley, the author of You Can't Run From You, joins us in this interview. We will take a journey back in time through the eyes, voice, and perceptions of Anthony as a young man who experienced a host of challenges while maneuvering his evolution to manhood. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answers.network or answersforthefamily.com, and subscribe to our show through either iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, or SoundCloud. If you want to see us, go to YouTube. If you're one that listens, you have plenty of choices. Or if you have a podcast platform that you like, let us know, and we'll see if we can sign up for that one as well. So whichever platform you listen to us on, please leave a review, let us know what you think, and spread the word that there is positive content here to empower, educate, and entertain. So for everybody out there, be good humans and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.